You're listening to the Alex Jones Show because there's a war on for your mind. I do not get up on air and say things that I don't 100% believe. That doesn't mean that I'm always right, but I am, unfortunately, about 98% of the time, generally right. That doesn't mean I always nail it 98% of the time, but I was a golf player. I'm getting into the hole with two shots. That's because I'm immersed in this. This is all I do. When I go to sleep at night, I just dream about fighting the world order and try to work problems out. I research in my dreams. It's basically all I do other than spend time with family. And you don't need me to tell you that the globalists are in deep trouble. You don't need me to tell you their plan's falling apart. You don't need me to tell you that they're completely evil and that we've got a real shot at beating them, and we've got to beat them. But what I do want to tell you is, as I said Friday, one of the most urgent broadcasts I've done in 30-plus years, this is the big one. And everything that comes after this election and everything we go into in the future is going to make everything that came before it look like the good old days. Now, you've seen all the big movies that have come out and all the pundits and the professors and the reports everywhere. Trump's going to be a dictator. Trump's going to have martial law. Trump's going to have civil unrest. Trump's going to arrest his political enemies. That's everything the establishment's doing. And they have clearly warmed it up to have cultural strife between the Muslims and the Jews, vice versa, and between the blacks and the whites, vice versa. And it's all a smokescreen for the WEF Central Bank's BlackRock funding a communist uprising. Now, the globalists themselves aren't communists, but they have communists as their minions carrying this out, just like Mao Zedong did in China. So just since Friday, with all the headlines about impending civil unrest that leads to civil war, that leads to martial law, civil emergency is what they call it, that's the sweet name for it. The politically correct name for it. Now there's more national polls and more headlines everywhere in the front page of Drudge. Poll shows huge number of Americans see another civil war within 5 years. If you actually read the poll, they believe it will happen after Biden is reelected. They believe that Biden will be the one that brings it in. Well, they're going to trigger the civil unrest and already have, but it's going to build through the summer of rage. They'll call the summer of love. They're looking for a Kent State event to happen so the left can play victim. I've been saying that for years. Now it's all over the news. Oh, the new Kent State's imminent. Survivors of Kent State speak out. Trump's going to trigger a Kent State. And they're going to, again, when Trump is elected, they've said, the Democratic Party has said, they're going to fund uprisings. And when Trump declares the Insurrection Act, last declared in 1992 by George Herbert Walker Bush in the LA riots, that they're going to say it's a constitutional crisis and that the president cannot do that. And they're already trying to strip the president of military control domestically, which is a coup itself legislatively, just like the anti-free speech bill that's passed the House, set to pass the Senate, and just like everything else they've been doing. So the tyrants are in trouble. They're making their move. We're going to lay it all out tonight. And then the most insane Bill Gates news, and there's a lot of insane Bill Gates news. This is the most insane I've ever seen. Wait until you see this. Big broadcast tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Please share the word. I'm your host, Alex Jones. The great Chase Geyser was going to host all 4 hours tonight, my Sunday night show, 4 to 6, Sunday Night Live, that he hosts 6 to 8 p.m., but I called him this afternoon. I said, the news is too hardcore, even though it's my 7-year-old daughter's birthday today, and the birthday party really starts about 6 o'clock. I'm going to do at least the first hour because this is just too important for her future and all of our futures, so my wife understands that. But that's how serious this news is, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. If you're a new listener, I know people tune in constantly, every millisecond, new listeners. you're asking what's the Alex Jones show all about? Why do people attack it so much? Why do people talk about how good it is so much? It's because we've made a lot of predictions that have come true, and I've done a lot of historical research, and I'm immersed in this information. You are not going to need now to really even tune into the Alex Jones show to know what's going on, because you're going to experience it. You're already experiencing it. The good news is, again, I was visiting a family member in the hospital yesterday. Massive numbers of the doctors and nurses were listeners, shook my hand, middle of liberal Austin. And then I took my wife to dinner, because my parents were keeping my youngest daughter, and my middle daughter was taking care of her too. And I went to a little Italian place, and the owner, the chef, there's probably only 20 people in there, and about 15 of the 20 people eating all came over and shook my hand. And then when I walked out on the street to walk to the car garage, I shook hands with every group that I walked past. Again, I don't give you that report to say, oh, I'm so famous, I'm so cool. It means the buzz for freedom's out there. And so as negative as all this news is, I'm a bellwether because I'm well known, and I get almost no hate. It happens like every 6 months now, and I go all over the place, and I get nothing but love at levels 10 times what it's ever been. I mean, usually I'm in a restaurant, and it's a small restaurant. Nobody comes over, and it's a big restaurant. 4 or 5 people come over. That's fine. That's great. Love shaking their hand, taking pictures. Now it's nonstop. Tree store, you name it. People stop their cars in the parking lot, get out and shake my hand. Black, white, old, young. It's beautiful. And again, I state that because if there is a civil war in this country or civil unrest, they bill a civil war, trying to get the American people to fight each other. All of you that are listeners have to just go out on the street and speak out about unity and coming together and explaining that it's the globalists, the central banks, the New World Order that are doing all this. And their only hope is if they can divide and conquer us. Because it's great to be private. And I say this all the time, it's so important. Because you have anonymity and you have privacy. It's not fun being very famous, at least in my book. I mean, it's something you don't like losing your privacy. But I get the great fringe benefit or side effect of really getting to test the temperature of the public. And it's not just Texas. It's California. It's New York. It's Florida. It's everywhere I go. I'm mobbed. And that shows you that people are really, really awake. And everybody I talk to says their friends and family are waking up. And I think you're experiencing the Great Awakening as well. The reason I started the show with that story is, or those statements is, that's the good news, but it's also the bad news, because the power structure, the corrupt mega banks and their big global Ponzi scheme that's coming to an end, they know they're in trouble. They know the world is rejecting them. And so they are going to pull out all the stops to try to create so much smoke and so much fire, literal and figurative, that they don't all go to prison during a global political realignment that's about to happen. Instead, we all fight with each other, and they're able to bring in their global central bank currency that tracks and traces and controls everything you do, tracker switches, kill switches in all the new cars globally, total control, 15-minute cities, Germany banning driving cars on the weekend. I mean, that's all coming here, 15-minute cities. But how are they going to get there? Well, when they say the main national security directive since June of 2020 is white supremacy, and the white supremacy is an epidemic, which is like saying unicorns dancing in the, you know, in the moonlight is an epidemic. It's not happening. There's certainly not white supremacy, you know, violence going on out there that we even, it's very rare. And they're still pushing it in Hollywood and in the news and the corporate media and the universities everywhere. And that's because the false flags are imminent. The final ingredients for the civil unrest that'll be billed as a civil war, so the media can say who the parties are, Israel versus Islam, Islam versus Israel, blacks versus the police, whites versus the blacks, vice versa. While the borders dissolved, while the country's currency is destroyed, while all this incredible war expands across the planet. So it's very critical, beyond critical, to understand that we know what the globalists have done before. We know the type of terror attacks they've staged or provocateur before. And so you just have to know. And again, most of you don't need me to tell you this, but I want it to be urgent. I want it to be imminent in your mind that we are 183 days out from the election. 6 months. Right now, today. And all hell, if you think all hell has broken loose, I'm telling everybody, you need to get right with God, you need to get right with your family, you need to get right with your neighbors, and you need to get serious. And I've told the crew this, and they're already very serious. I've told my family this, and they're already very serious. This is a whole new ball game we're entering for all the marbles right now. And even people like Dick Van Dyke, who's been very non-political, reportedly people that know him, like the most classy guy ever in Hollywood, has come out and said they're trying to start a civil war in America and we shouldn't be manipulated. And what's happening to Trump is wrong. Now, when I came out 6 months ago and I said, listen, I had some family buy me tickets, they know I never go out, to George Strait and Willie Nelson. And I know Willie well. He came to one of my movie showings, decades ago and 15 years ago. We got to be friends and used to hang out with him a lot back when I had time for such things, play chess with him, you name it. But Willie's an old-fashioned liberal. He means well, but he's in control of the Democratic Party. Somebody like George Strait, I know, is super hardcore conservative. I know the Ace in the Hole band, his band. I'll just leave it at that. And I know people that work with him, and I know his private feelings is that he's extremely conservative and anti-New World Order. I'm not putting down George Strait. I'm just saying it's not like George Strait's going to save us either. It's not when I got pissed at Rogan, my good friend of now 25-plus years, 6 years ago, because he was starting to slide over to the globalist. And I got in his face in person and in his face on air and really made him look at the evidence. And Joe's not a guy you push around, believe me. And he said, my God, you're actually right. I went overboard getting him, to look, but it's like in They Live where they're in that big fight trying to make his friend put the sunglasses on so he can see it. Listen, put these sunglasses on and see the truth, a metaphor for coming out of Plato's cave, or start eating concrete. And it's because I know Joe, because Joe's already so political, that I did that with. And again, I'm only singling out George Strait because he's one of the biggest, he's as big as Elvis around the world. He's a living legend. I love George Strait. And I'm not saying this is about George Strait. I'm just using him as an example. Hey, George Strait, we're going to lose everything if everybody like you that's super prominent and a patriot, he's not a closet patriot. He raises money for veterans and promotes the family and God and country. He's a great guy. But if people like George Strait don't start going public now like Dick Van Dyke just did, because Dick Van Dyke knows it's about to be the end of the country, all right? If we don't have every person that's a populist, a conservative, a Christian, a conservative Catholic, we outnumber the bad guys 10 to 1. The bad guys are a bunch of scum, and their followers are idiots who can't find their ass with both hands. So all I'm saying is I can't do this alone, and my audience of activists supporting us and people supporting Trump can't do this alone. And this idea that Trump's invincible is not true, this idea that I'm always going to be here, if it wasn't for you, I'd already be off the air. This is the fight of the millennia. I mean, this is not the fight of the century, folks. This is everything. And we are about to go into a slippery slope that we're already on, but I mean over the edge of it, that is unspeakable. Giant terror attacks being blamed on populists and right-wingers. Terror attacks being blamed on Trump supporters. The left burning down cities. If you think the summer in 2020 was bad, it will look tame in comparison. And the same thing is already starting in Europe. It's already starting in Australia. If you think the globalists with COVID lockdowns and poison shots and all of that was bad, as I said at the start of the show, this is the big one. And when you're under tyranny and you're under attack, it feels kind of dirty. You would say, oh man, America's on its last legs and tell people, hey, we're in danger. But when you are in danger, it's the truth. Again, if a forest fire is coming through the town because the wind changes and it's going 60 miles an hour and you see your neighbors with their lights off, but their cars are there and the flames are a quarter mile away and the fire department, you know, is at your door and saying, get out. And you get in your car to drive off and you still see the neighbors with their lights off, you're going to go bang on the door and say, get the hell out of here. That's not crying wolf to run around really concerned and have urgency to have that happening. Instead of sitting on the deck of the Titanic playing poker, Chase Geyser analogy Friday, as the whole ship sinks. I mean, this is going on, okay? There's no doubt. It's not like it's what I said 3.5 years ago when Biden stole the election. I said before the next election, before the next general election, they're going to try to create civil unrest and use that as an excuse for martial law. And then, you know, it'll basically never end. It'll be an emergency never ends. And I told you the COVID lockdowns were training wheels for future permanent lockdowns under the guise of civil unrest and climate change, which is now mainstream news. I played clips last week of central bankers at the World Economic Forum just this last week saying COVID was training wheels for the future lockdowns and controls we're going to have in a cashless society. They're saying the cashless society will be to lock you up and only let you travel when they say, and surveil everything you do. So it's not coming, my friends, it's here. And I've been on the air 30 years, and I don't normally just sit here for 20 minutes saying it's here. This is the big one. Nobody ever tuned in has heard me talk like this, have you? I knew they had lots of projects and false flags and crises. I did say they're going to release viruses and have lockdowns and then give us a poison shot. It'll break down society, and I'm going to cover that in a moment. And I've said that was imminent, but now it's the next level of escalation and then some. And then things accelerate in a time period like this. Lenin said, evil man, but he was smart, a genius. He said there are weeks where more happens than happened in decades. So there are decades where nothing happens, and there are weeks when more happens than happened in decades. I hope the exact Lenin quote about there are weeks where more happens. I think I'm butchering it, but I got the gist of it. So that's all I'm trying to say is my urgency, my concern, my intellectual understanding, my spiritual understanding, my gut level, my instincts are just, I mean, I have got like a very intense feeling in my chest. There are decades when nothing happens, and there are weeks where decades happen. Yeah, there it is. And it's not only like a weight in my chest. It's not like a weight on me. It's an energy. It's a force of resistance to tyranny. It's a power. And I only get like this when I can see around corners. Everybody can if you just dial into the discernment God gave you. I can see around corners. I can see over hills. I can see in the dark. And my cells are just ready to fight. And that I'm in danger. And so it makes me feel very strong. Makes me have a lot of energy. Makes me very serious. Because at a spiritual level, my body is being told by my spirit, get ready, on guard. In French, fencing, it just means on guard in English. Prepare yourself, get ready. It's on guard in French when they're fencing and they put their visor down and say, on guard. And I'm telling you all, on guard. On guard. Brace for impact. And just let that sink in a little bit, folks, and just dial into your own gut level instincts, not just your intellectual understanding that sees this, Just sit back for a minute and think, how much danger are we in? Have you ever felt this much danger? And the answer is nothing near it. Nothing close. So here's what we're going to cover when we come back. When I saw this yesterday morning and I posted it on X, and then subsequently everybody else sent it to me as well. Joe Rogan sent it to me and I said, I hope you're covering this in your next podcast. And Bill Gates comes out and he says, yeah, we're just testing on the public a whole bunch of stuff with the mRNA shots. And there's a lot of different things we put in different batches just to see what it's going to do. And we're just randomly testing on the public. I'm going to play the clip coming up. And he says, we're just injecting people with self-replicating nanotech. Now, that's what it is. By the way, get me the clip of Gates also saying, that's an old clip, this is a new clip. We just shoot kids right in the veins with experimental shots. Remember that? We don't even know what it's going to do. We just shoot it right in. He said this crap before, but this time, a couple days ago, he did it on television. He came out in two different interviews and he says, yeah, you're all guinea pigs. We're going to figure out how this works the next 5 years. Just injecting you with it. And then he goes, also, we're going to ban all your meat, too. We're almost ready to do that. Yeah, how do you think they're going to do that? When they inject the cows and the pigs, it's already started in the pigs with the mRNA self-replicating nanotech, everybody's going to figure out real quick you can't eat that, or you get the equivalent of prion disease, and I've got a bunch of mainline studies on it. Dr. Peter McCullough is exposing it. Dr. Joseph Merkel is exposing it. But we got Bill Gates just going, yeah, we inject you with the self-replicating nanotech, graphene oxide. I mean, they inject people, they take their blood out, living and dead, and it's just like, looks like microchips, because it's what it builds. And you're like, well, they'd never get away with that. That's crazy. This week, in fact, tomorrow, I'm getting all the SPARS documents together, the Pentagon, John Hopkins, UN report, and they say in there, and it's really set the year 2020 to 2024, but they say 2025, 2028, and it's even the same tweets they later put out, just slightly changed. And they say about 2 years into the rollout of the experimental shots, this came out 2 years before they released the virus in 2000, early 2019, late 2019, they say they have a rollout plan. You're going to find out they've soft-killed you, and then they're going to use that for the civil unrest as well. And it's not like I'm just now saying that. We shot that report. Guys, pull up. It's got like 5 million views. It's on Bandot Video. It's a special report, SPARS, 2025, 2028. Like a three-hour special we did, commercial-free. And I explain how this is a battle plan so they can walk around with their operational manual for the think tanks and the top military and the foreign governments and all have their real battle plan. But if they get caught with it, it's like, oh, no, this is just a drill. A war game, this isn't actually the battle plan, but it follows the battle plan in live time. They've tweaked and changed a few things, but it's absolutely staggering. So if you go to band.video, yeah, there it is. Emergency Saturday broadcast, world shocked by SPARS 2025-2028 document. And that one's got like 4 million views, but there was another variant of it, it's like 2 million. So it's got over 5 million. But the point is that we're going to repost that on X tomorrow, and I'm going to explain all this to you. But if you haven't watched the almost three-hour, guys, click on it. I'm going from memory how long it is. You might want to go watch that again. In fact, I'm going to have it reposted under the live show feed at InfoWars.com. How long is it? Oh, that's why I said there's 5 million views, because there's a three-hour version and a 90-minute version. This is the shorter one. That's why. Yeah, there's a three-hour version, too. So that's what we're talking about. All right. We may back them down. We've got a very good chance. Well, that's the most important thing. If there's a big awakening, which is already happening, but we really get all those that are awakened to really get loud about this and explain what they're about to do again, but on a bigger scale, because they've already got the bird flu all hyped up and that's going into high gear, then we can mitigate this and back them down. But if they think they're going to catch us with our pants down or flat-footed, they're going to go all the way. And we can't just quit our jobs and not live and think it's the end of the world here. No, we're just going through a very dangerous period. You got to continue to speak out. You got to continue to pray. We need your support. I'm taking on the New World Order. President Trump needs your support as well. We have incredible products you already need. Please go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's my dad's company. He's our sponsor. And the deep state's targeted him as well. And so it's a critical place to support. But that's only part of the equation. These are amazing products. The Nano Silver Fluoride-Free Toothpaste, Super Blue, and others. The Rocket Rest Natural Sleep Aid that's so strong and works so great and so good for your whole body. Get that deep, restful sleep. Rocket Rest at drjonesnaturals.com. That's just drjonesnaturals.com. And there's also the Next Level Foundational Energy that you will find at drjonesnaturals.com. Next Level Foundational Energy would take me an hour to explain it. But it's beyond game-changing. It's next-level foundational energy at drjonesnaturals.com. And there's a lot of other great products there on the site as well. Top Brain, you name it. Peruse the site. Check it out. Please go there. If you want to support the broadcast, plus get great products, this is a time for action. drjonesnaturals.com. And there's also a lot of amazing products at infowarsstore.com as well that I'll tell you about before this hour ends. We're going to come back, and I'm going to get into this Bill Gates information straight ahead, and then I'm going to talk about how to stop them being able to roll out their next phase of power grab. Please stay with us. All right, if you're an occasional listener or a new listener, you probably weren't tuned in 4-plus years ago when they started the COVID attack. We showed a lot of different government and NGO documents from the CIA, that are public, and from the Carnegie Endowment and the Rockefeller Foundation and John Hopkins and the Pentagon, like the SPARS pandemic war game plan 2025-2028 that is set in the year 2020 to 2024. Now, in the document that mirrors those years, they just it's again really set in 2020 to 2024. In the document, as I just said earlier, I've done big presentations on this. I've posted them back on Infowars.com from our site, band.video. Tomorrow I'm going to post it on X at Real Alex Jones. With this report under it, we're doing live tonight. In context, people know what to go look at. And it says, when the public finds out that we've erased their immune systems and caused blood clots and everything they did, okay, so Obama war-gamed all this in 2013, 2014, 2015, he funded the University of Texas, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and a bunch of others to test this exact mRNA system for a COVID-type virus on rats. And so they knew what it did to the rats. Cut their life expectancy in about half, killed about half of them in just the first 6 months. But again, rats live a lot less than us, but they have a similar physiology, so rat dying in 6 months is like a human dying in 10 years. So they stunningly, and General Flynn saw our analysis, said it was spot on, put their evil plan into a war game so, again, they could have their war game and understand their war game and pass it out to their people, but have plausible deniability. Hey, what do you got a war game to cook up a synthetic virus, release it, scare the public, and give them a shot 100 times worse than the virus, and then use that to start collapsing society and depopulating? Well, you have it in a war game. And in the war game, by the third and fourth year, 2023, 2024, they even predict good scientists, good medical systems would come out and expose it. So then they would start having politicians and talk show hosts, it says, say that they were just mistaken and it was a mistake and that there'd be some fines and people have to step down and the heads of bureaucracies would step down, which you've seen them do. And they would just have a war plan to even normalize that, well, it wasn't on purpose. So people ask, how do I know what's going to happen next? They've got these war games. Like in 2011, Lockstep, put out by the Rockefeller Foundation, association with John Hopkins and the Pentagon and the UN, and they talk about use a virus out of China, a respiratory virus, scare people, have lockdowns, make them wear masks to create more fear. Then they'll accept the new way of life, being locked down, being controlled by their smartphones to get them ready for the cashless society. And they could then build emergency centers all over the world for the next big crisis where they can lock up their political opposition, which they've now set up. And you're sitting there reading this big giant report. I mean, just the report synopsis is, what, 50-something pages long, memory serves. But throughout it are links to all these other reports and all these other battle plans, and it's all there, the toolbox of how to do this, like a recipe. And so we have them. Now, it came out by February 2020 in the news. Major universities around the world scanned these SARS COVID virus and said it's five viruses put together. It's been edited. And it's got the spike protein of HIV, one of the biggest spike proteins ever discovered, super toxic itself, that breaks through the cell membrane. And it's self-replicating. And then their answer with the so-called vaccine, which was gene therapy, would be have your body produce more of the spike protein as if it's a harmless thing, so your body recognizes it and beats the whole virus. Well, the whole thing is the spike protein. All right. So by early 2000, I had top scientists, researchers on, and they said, you're going to get false HIV positives with this, which later came out. Now HIV is at record levels. You're going to get turbo cancers, blood clots, myocarditis, strokes. Now mainstream news, FDA studies, okay, it's true. Just like the SPARS document said, by year 3 and 4, it would come out. And now it's come out. They had it all wargamed. They knew what the response would be. They had it all there. Smart criminals. But when you read into the virus, the closest thing it is in nature is spongiform encephalopathy, or that's what prion crystals, self-replicating protein crystals that you get when you feed herbivores meat, rotten meat. If you feed herbivores rotten meat, you're not supposed to feed cows meat or sheep. It then passes through the barrier in their stomach and the blood-brain barrier because they're not designed to eat meat, rotten meat. A buzzard's designed to eat rotten meat, and that's it. And then it gets into your brain and starts growing and your other organs and kills you. And the key here is it's self-replicating. Now, we've been saying that for almost 4 years, or longer than 4 years now. And I got a bunch of studies just out now I'll show you, and prestigious scientists and doctors talking about it. This is a fact. And 80% of women that have the mRNA shot in the first two trimesters have a miscarriage, and that's now mainstream news everywhere. We told you about it 4 years ago, or 3 years ago when it first rolled out. It's 2.5 when the first shots started. Yeah, 3. So I'm building up to the Bill Gates thing here in a moment. We're going to skip this break. Bill Gates then goes on USA Today TV, their TV division, and just laughs and says, yeah, we're just going to figure out and get the kinks out of mRNA in the next 5 years. We're just going to give everybody it and play around with it and see what it does. So, and this is the first time he said stuff like this, but he says it more intensely here. So overhead shot, please, before I go to these clips. This is an article from earlier this week. Could COVID shots trigger avalanches of a contagious form of dementia? And then it's links to a big, giant, peer-reviewed study that it is self-replicating. Even if you don't take the shot, you can get it from shedding. It's really bad if you take the shot. And it gets in your body, it self-replicates, and it basically gives you spongiform encephalopathy, dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever you want to call it. I've got the studies right here. mRNA vaccines could unleash epidemic of prion brain diseases. There's another one. Moderna posts 1.2 million losses. Demand for COVID jab collapses. Promises investors next generation vaccine to tackle new strains. Chris Cuomo now says he's sick from the Moderna shot. That's the strongest one. Remember they said in the SPARS document they would do that. Here's Bill Gates. Bill Gates openly discussing self-assembling nanotechnology and mRNA, a nice word for protein prion. That's what the spike protein is. It's a protein prion. Bill Gates, for every disease that we don't have vaccines, we'll try mRNA. We just need to mess around with the public. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles and some are very self-assembling. It means they grow in your body. Like the prions that cause spongiform encephalopathy or mad cow. We'll be able to build factories worldwide that can make $2 vaccines with even less lead time. Then we've got him saying that he's going to make you eat GMO meat, fake meat. And then since I mentioned it, let me go ahead and show you a couple of big studies that are out. Remember this meme from years ago? Stop saying you did your research before you got the injection. You are the research. And boy, did all the soy boys and liberals take it. They love it. But here's some of the studies. I'll show you a few of hundreds. Dr. Peter McCullough links to this one. Spike protein linked to Alzheimer's acceleration. And that's in a major prestigious medical journal. Dr. Peter McCullough, messenger mRNA is transferring from vaccinated to unvaccinated, shedding. That's from 2 years ago. Here's some of the studies. Current state of knowledge on the excretion of mRNA and spike produced by the anti-COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. Possible contamination of the entourage of those vaccinated by the products. That's a big, again, prestigious medical report. You can go read that for yourself. And there's literally thousands of these now. Prominent Japanese medical professor warns against taking self-replicating jab this fall or winter. You can go watch that. I mean that's like a 10-second search. I just pulled up a few of them there. Now, you're like, okay, well, that's you saying that, or that's the study saying it. Well, here's Dr. Bill Gates, who isn't a doctor, who runs the biggest depopulation foundation in the world, who says there's too many people, but he really loves you and really wants you to take the shot that attacks your fertility, your longevity. World population is now declining for the first time since the Black Plague. People's life expectancies are declining massively. But before we play the new clip of him on USA Today, let's play an older one where he just nonchalantly talks about, yeah, we just shoot it right in the arms of these kids. Have no idea what it's going to do. Here he is.
Some of them have side effects. Do we need safety testing? I mean, and we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein. So, yeah, I think maybe we should have a safety system where we, you know, do trials and test things out. The idea, though, that you would take a technique that promises to solve nutrition problems,
Now, of course, that's doublespeak. I've got a clip coming up where he goes, this is a new clip, he says, oh, yeah, we've got lab-grown meat, we're going to roll it out. And he goes, because it's pork, it's beef. No, it's not. They just approved, with no studies, a pink soybean, not green, that is pig cells. You're like, they can't do that? Yeah, they do. You can cook it up and reportedly smells like bacon. God knows what that'll do because they Trojan horse crap into all of this. But you heard him. We have no idea what it's going to do. We just shoot it right in the kids' veins. And that's our safety study is we just randomly test it. Now, here's a shorter clip of him from USA Today where they put a clip of some of the scientists and just type in self-assembling nanoparticles into X, or just even type it into Google. You got to go 20 pages deep to find the studies that they try to block it because they're at war with humanity. But this is all admitted, but it's just next level to have Bill Gates trying to hide it in plain view and normalize it. So the first is a short clip, then a clip of a electron microscope of the self-assembling nanoparticles or spike proteins or bad cow prions. And then we'll go actually to a larger clip from the USA Today, and the full thing is up on Infowars.com. So she'll play the shorter clip and then just play the full clip back-to-back with it. Here is the most wild Bill Gates admission ever, because I already know this is all true. You can go back 4 years ago and we're like, it's going to be nanotech, self-assembling, because we'd seen the studies they'd already done on rats. And by the way, it doesn't help the rats. Oh, but don't worry. Cancer's exploding. They've got a new mRNA vaccine coming out that will be promising to help. Because, yes, they can give you shots of mRNA that for most people will turn off what they've already done to you. A captive audience. Yeah. A fully weaponized medical system against humanity. Here's the clips back to back.
Making the mRNA is really easy and really cheap. And that's the magic of this thing. But there's no doubt in the next 5 years, we can, you know, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles, and some are very self-assembly.
This is nano construction. I don't even begin to understand how far ahead of where we thought our technology was.
Making the mRNA is really easy and really cheap, and that's the magic of this thing. But there's no doubt in the next 5 years, we can, you know, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles, and some are very self-assembling. There's no inherent reason it's not thermostable, it's not cheap, and it's not scalable. And so as over the 5 years, we fix that part of it, mature it, which is very typical, we'll be able to build factories worldwide that can make $2 vaccines with even less lead time than we've had to have here during this pandemic. And we'll use those, as you suggest, for every disease that we don't have vaccines, we will try mRNA. In fact, for HIV, we have multiple ways, one that's more of a B-cell approach, one that's more of a T-cell approach. You know, for malaria, we have multiple ideas. For TB, we have multiple ideas. And so to fill in the missing vaccines, we'll make a lot of our bets of the Gates Foundation and others who care about global health will be mRNA focused.
So we're going to play around with the public like they did. Remember, safe and effective, it's all been tested. Yeah, it was tested on rats and it killed most of them. And, you know, we're up here talking about New England Medical Journal, 83% of the women in the first two trimesters that took the Pfizer or Moderna shot had miscarriages. And then more studies came out 2 weeks ago, prestigious. And like you say that, it doesn't even sound real, does it? Like, what, 80% is the number they're on now. I mean, they're killing us, ladies and gentlemen, and they think it's funny. But they tried to censor us. They tried to block us. They failed. The truth is out there now. But they even knew in their war game that that would happen too. But it blew up bigger than they thought, and they've now admitted that. So they predicted big pushback, but maybe a third of what they expected. It's been three times that. So, his wife's left him. He looks like he's aged 20 years last year. It looks like one of his arms is paralyzed. I saw him at the World Economic Forum last week speaking. And it looks like he's 90 years old now. So Bill Gates is circling the toilet bowl. His evil wife has left him. But he's just the front man for this. But boy, is he a little evil elf, a little demonic leprechaun. I mean, he's just out there in your face pushing all this. And God help us. You know, Dr. Robert Malone was on the show Friday or Thursday, and he is the inventor of mRNA 30 years ago. And they tested it on rats and mice and guinea pigs, and it could cure cancer sometimes. And it, with a certain percentage, they could do incredible stuff. Problem is, a good percentage would just liquefy their organs, the brain, the liver, And it varied person to person. They're like, so he's been saying for 15 years, and he has the patents on it. He's a very wealthy guy because of it. But he's like, hey, it's like Oppenheimer, you know, making the atomic bomb. He's like, you better watch out with this a little bit here. You know, this is pretty dangerous. But let's go ahead now and play Bill Gates. Again, this is from this last week. He's doing a speaking tour right now. Here he is talking about synthetic lab-grown meat, which is full of all sorts of viruses and bacteria, and it's just horrible. And notice he calls it, oh, and it's pork, it's beef. No, it's not. And how great it tastes and how wonderful it is. And you're like, well, we'll never eat that. They're forcing it. And they're forcing it on the prisons, and they're forcing it on the schools, and already all over the Western world, bug protein is being put in to the chicken powder and you know the flour and the batter. And he's involved at every level. And the WF has said the future's not human. They're taking over. Here's a clip.
In matching the taste or the cost. I know they have new generations coming, so I'm hopeful that'll improve. But as you say, the cell-based approaches, they're not going to have a problem with the taste. Their challenge is very much the cost. But there's some great companies, including one called Prolific. It looks like we may get there. So sometimes the path is a lot longer, and we underestimated how easy it would be for people like Beyond and Impossible to become mainstream. But they're out there, you know, doing new versions. So I'm still hopeful. I have to say sausage is an area where it seems to be easier for them to create something where I can't tell the difference, or like a chicken sandwich. Ground beef, they are pretty close, particularly because you have salt and sauces on it. The ultimate might be a steak, although there are companies who say that, you know, even that they'll be able to achieve something. Almost every type of food, milk, cheese, you know, there's interesting work going on. And so if you can get, say, beef or pork to be made this way, amazingly, that would even help with things like deforestation, because there's a whole chain of how those animals get fed. And so agriculture, I keep trying this stuff. There's a yogurt that I think is absolutely fantastic.
I think we're pretty far away on fish. I haven't yet tried a meat substitute for fish that really matches the taste.
Yeah, but for fish, there's this big trend away from ocean-based fishing, the so-called aquaculture. And, you know, that started out as a very environmentally insensitive thing. But now they're really improving what they do with their wastewater, how they control disease. And so it's interesting that we're almost to the point where half of the fish are coming from aquaculture. And at least in Africa, the upside to have a lot more of that is there. So it's not fish substitute, but it's just another way of growing the fish.
By the way, nothing Bill Gates says is true. I can play the clip, a bunch of them, where he says we need to cut trees down. They're carbon, they're bad, and trees aren't good. And saying planting trees is good for the earth is anti-science. Don't believe me, just type in Bill Gates says planting trees is anti-science. But now he wants to ban all over the world, Sri Lanka and the Netherlands and Ireland, cows and pigs because, oh, they're bad for the environment. They're deforesting. But he says cut the trees down. They're shutting down the farms, the small ones. They're shutting down organics, saying they're bad. Literally, type in London Guardian. Organic farming, the worst for the earth. To make you have factory-made sludge where it's live cells and they grow fake beef and fake pork. It's unbelievable. Yeah, there it is. Planting trees for the environment is complete nonsense. Fortune magazine, folks, you can't make this up. But oh, we got to ban cows. They're bad for the trees. Eat my lab-grown meat. All right, we're going to go to break, start the second, third, and fourth hour on the Sunday transmission. Tomorrow, when I host from 11 a.m. Central to 3 p.m., I'm going to talk about the martial law, the plans for false flags, and how we stop it. Before we go to break, remember, I need your support. You need my support. I want to thank you for your support. Now's the time to take action. Get products you need to build our own economy. They want to shut everybody down. That's their war. So support the people telling the truth and get great products at the same time. Infowarsstore.com. Ultimate fish oil, highest grade fish oil, so good for your whole body, so good for your brain and heart, so incredible. Back in stock, 40% off, Infowarsstore.com. Nitric Boost, it cleans out your heart, your cardiovascular. Everybody should be on this. Incredible effects for everybody. It's 40% off, back in stock, Infowarsstore.com. And so many other great products, again, at InfoWarsStore.com. And then finally, DrJonesNaturals.com. DR, just DR, JonesNaturals.com. My dad's company based right here in Central Texas. Incredible supplements, incredible nano silver toothpaste and wound gel and immune swish and swallow gargle and rocket rest. Just absolutely amazing natural sleep aid, next level foundational energy. The nano silver with tea tree and iodine super blue toothpaste. It's all at drjonesnaturals.com. And if you want to support us, support that and get the great products. Go now to drjonesnaturals.com and to infowarsstore.com. You can call InfoWars and order 24 hours a day at 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. All right, incredible times, but at least we're not being caught flat-footed. We're going to start the second, third, and fourth hour straight ahead. Please stay with us. Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today. It's urgency. Urgency. You need urgency.
The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
We need an urgency, people, and not have this learned helplessness. Now, why did I play that clip? Well, for them buying up real infrastructure, I guess they get first use. But for everybody else, it causes inflation. And just 2 years ago, Biden said there isn't inflation. He said, well, then it's not that bad. Oh, it's terrible. It's Trump's fault. Now it's fixed, but it's not.
Am I taking blame for inflation? No.
Why not?
Because it was already there when I got here, man. Remember what the economy was like when I got here?
We've squandered our time in the sun. We have too much debt. And the rest of the world says, hey, you've got too much debt. You're flooding the world with your dollars. We want a different reserve currency. Well, who's going to now come into that role? The BRICS nations. So Greenspan, when he made that comment, I believe that he's absolutely wrong. Because at some point, while you have the world's reserve currency, sure, you can fund every stimulus under the sun. You can raise the debt ceiling. You can spend, spend, spend like drunken sailors. But once, because you still have built-in demand for your currency, because you're the world's reserve currency. But if you don't have that, you have to have discretion in your printing. You have to have discretion in your spending. That's the trait that we don't have with politicians in America.
And then they're going to have to go back to quantitative easing soon. Kirk Elliott months ago predicted regional banks start failing. It's now begun. We need to really talk about this and be, have a very serious mind.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
Why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves?
Well, again, some of this stuff gets some of the language that the MM, some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Since they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. I guess I can't really talk. I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, because it's like the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
Just because I don't know what it is doesn't mean I'm lying.
The president, the most legislatively successful president in my lifetime, and, you know, I don't have to go through the list, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that, inflation, 15 million jobs. Look, it's all good. I mean, I was really thrilled to meet the entire staff, because you know it's not just one person.
You have failed me for the last time.
This inflation in home prices and building materials that I've just talked about, It's man-made, isn't it? And that man's name is Joe Biden, isn't it?
Senator, I think that we all experience the complexities of a global pandemic, and the economy is still, in many ways, absorbing some of that impact.
The National Association of Home Builders says that this new standard is going to add $31,000 on top of all of this inflation to the cost of a new home.
Job estimates from the Bureau of Labor Statistics are consistently false. Financial media outlets have reported the numbers are repeatedly false. Why should we continue to fund the Bureau of Labor Statistics when it's clearly not fulfilling its duties?
The Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out the most reliable data about our workforce, about unemployment, about job growth in industries that there is.
Okay, now, never to this level have the numbers been so inaccurate. So well, who is responsible for this, and has anybody been held accountable?
That's right. We have a rogue criminal government working for BlackRock, and the CBDC, if you don't know what ESGs are, you're going to learn. I know most of you do.
And the social problems that one will have.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show, folks. I am Chase Geiser, your host for the remainder of the show today, and I will also be hosting Sunday Night Live immediately after this. We're just going to treat it like one long show. We've got so much to cover today. It's absolutely insane. I think that Alex may have had one of his best shows of all time on Friday, especially up until the point where the spaces started when he was doing his monologue about the Civil War, and I've cut some clips together that we'll go over regarding that, but it really does seem like we are on the cusp of civil war in this country, and it seems like the establishment political class is doing everything within its power to ensure that happens. Now, traditionally speaking, when there's a civil war, things have to get so bad and so tense that people feel like there's no other choice. But in this situation, granted, things are pretty bad right now. The economy's terrible. Inflation is terrible. Nobody can afford to buy a home. There's issues like that. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't seem like things are so bad that a civil war would just spontaneously erupt. And they know that. And I believe that that is the reason that they are really pushing in every way that they can to start this. And it seems like after January 6th, when we had these allegations of insurrection, that was the beginning of a propaganda campaign to ensure that political division would be exacerbated as much as possible in this country. So we have January 6th happen. They call it an insurrection, even though we know that the feds catalyzed it. And we know that the number of legitimate protesters who broke the law were an incredibly small portion of the total number of protesters and advocates that were there. And that's when things like the writing and production of the Civil War movie started. And things are coming out now that began back then, because a lot of these processes of the New World Order, of the globalists, of the deep state, they're all basically the same. These are just different faces of the same shape. A lot of these strategies, tactics, and processes take years to manifest. Things like producing a movie like Civil War and ensuring that it comes out 6 months before perhaps the most important election in the history of the United States of America is a process that had to begin years ago. There's writing the script, and there's casting, and then there's shooting and production, and then there's editing, and then there's the release. I mean, this was a process. They knew they were setting the stage for this dynamic and this culture war, this PSYOP, many years ago, many months ago, certainly. And what we're seeing right now before us is the political class trying to catalyze a civil war. Typically speaking, we have an establishment that doesn't ever want a civil war. Usually a civil war is like a rebellion, right? There's your established political class, your established government, and then there is a rebellion that tries to break up with it, like Star Wars, like what happened during the American Civil War in the 1860s. And you have a federal government or an empire that's trying to smash the rebellion down. You rebel scum. But this is one of the most unique ones or instances of civil war that I've ever seen, where we have an established political class that is trying to start a civil war when one wouldn't necessarily naturally happen. They're doing things like trying to get the most popular candidate off the ballot and then trying to charge the most popular candidate with dozens upon dozens of federal crimes, trying to imprison him. And then basically threatening his life by saying that the president should be stripped of Secret Service protection if he's convicted of any of these
charges, so they want him to die. And then we're getting involved in all these conflicts for no reason whatsoever, and our own government is voting to send all of our money overseas while simultaneously voting to ban social media platforms here and then proceeding to vote to extend the warrantless surveillance of American citizens under FISA. Are they trying to pick a fight? I mean, are they trying to start a fight? Do they, for some reason, want a civil war to break out? And then we see that there's all of these examples of these protests breaking out on every campus throughout the United States of America, and they all seem to be organized because they have the same merch, they have the same tents, they have the same chants, they have the same leadership, they have the same propaganda and advertisements to organize and promote these different events, and it seems like they're coming from a central location. I mean, let's look at clip number 26 here. This is an NYPD commissioner saying that something is deeply amiss with these protests.
I believe about 99% are students. And, you know, Chief Shell's going to talk about some of the literature and the leaflets that we found at both of these sites, one being here at the new school, the other one being at the NYU. I just want to say, and I said it before, there is somebody behind this movement. There is some organization behind this movement. The level of organization that we're seeing in both of these encampments here and at Columbia, leaflets on how to protest, leaflets on how to commit civil disobedience, leaflets on how what to do when you get arrested, leaflets on not, what to say to the police when they ask you. There is somebody funding this. There is somebody radicalizing our students, and our Deputy Commissioner of Counterterrorism and Intelligence will find out who it is. And we're going to be asking them some questions, and we do.
So this is a piece of literature amongst many that was we recovered from NYU, and this is, like I said, one of many. But I just want to read this to you.
Can you hold it up, please?
Yep. It says, occupy the occupiers. Enter the temporary autonomous zone from New York to Gaza from across Turtle Island. Disrupt, reclaim, destroy. Zionist business interests everywhere. Death to Israel real estate, death to America unschooled, long live the Intifada. So this is the mindset of some of these protests, sure.
And did you have any greater difficulty at one of the colleges than another today?
No.
With resistance?
No, not at all. We gave the kids something they need to learn. We gave them options, multiple options, and what their options were is to, in NYU, leave peacefully, and a lot of them did, and that's what we want. A couple said, I want to be arrested. Okay, fine. And we said, okay, you're at the summons level. Don't resist, and you'll get a summons. That worked out fine. Here, the same thing. A couple kids took us up on the offer. A couple kids did not. You saw them being arrested. And I hope you captured, I know you captured, the complete hatred for Israel that was being spewed. And the hatred for the NYP being spewed by the youth that of this school. All right, and that's something to, it's upsetting as a father and as New York City people, correct?
The decision to raid came last night in conjunction with the college, is that right?
Yeah, the two colleges presidents in writing requested what they needed, what they wanted. And I wouldn't call it a raid. I would call it just a removal of kids who were trespassing. That's what I would call it.
Okay? And you know what? Let me just add, if you go on my social media page, this is very important. I took a picture of this. Lessons on taking over a school. Can you believe that? Lessons on how to take over a school at NYU. Tell me that somebody's not radicalizing our students. What NYU student would do something like this? Somebody's behind this. Lessons on taking over a school. One, out of the quad. Two, if you build, they will come. Four, listen to the organizers. Five, be prepared. Six, read the pamphlets. Lessons on how to take over a school. Come on, folks. There's somebody right behind this.
Have a good day,
thank
guys.
You.
Footage of the protesters, and you can see how they're organized. They've got tents and things of that nature. So we'll pull out of this clip. But to see an NYPD commissioner, deputy commissioner, state that it seems like these protests are all organized from a central location. Obviously, the name that comes to mind is George Soros. We know that he's been behind funding things like this in the past. Obviously, he funds massive levels of campaigns and political action committees to exact his will upon the American political system. But it's always so peculiar to me how the establishment media is so ready to defend this figure. Now, traditionally speaking, Republicans have been able to rely on Fox News, and then all the other mainstream media outlets have obviously been leftist. But we've seen ever since Tucker was let go, and even before that, that Fox was a compromised institution. And I was really off put to see Neil Cavuto, this is in clip 31 we're going to run in a second, push back on accusations that George Soros is behind these protests. Fox anchor Cavuto denies Soros funding pro-Palestinian campus protests. Let's watch 31.
You've got groups that are funded by George Soros. There are Palestinian rights groups that I believe are involved, funded by George Soros, and they need to be off of our college campuses if they're committing violence, full stop.
All right. There's no proof that these are funded by George Soros, by the way, but their folks have denied that. But we'll see exactly where all of this money is coming from.
We'll agree to disagree, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I just look for the checks, and I haven't seen them yet. But Nancy Mace, thank you very much on that. In the meantime,
really?
Really?
And we've got this clip here. This is clip number 8. This is Tulsi saying that these protests are Sharia law backed, or backed by this notion of Sharia law. I don't want to unpack that in a second, but this article here by Raw Egg Nationalist on Infowars.com, Gaza camps were planned with trained activists months in advance. So radical left activist groups trained students for months in advance before they launched the wave of campus protests that have dominated the news over the last several weeks. The Wall Street Journal claims that the organizers of the Gaza encampment met with members of Students for Justice in Palestine and other activist groups in preparation for the campus protests. Former members of the Black Panthers were also drafted in to advise the organizers on how to manage internal disputes. Quote, we took notes from our elders, engaged in dialogue with them, and analyzed how the university responded to previous protests, one of the organizers of the Columbia protest told the Journal. Organizers at Columbia also attended a training session hosted by SAMIDUN, Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network. The session was called Resistance 101, with the aim of helping protesters build an internationally popular cradle to the resistance. At UCLA, protesters were trained in de-escalation tactics so they could handle counter-protests. So, yes, there's training behind this, and we have denials from the mainstream media that George Soros is involved. We have evidence that he certainly is, on the other hand. And now we have Tulsi Gabbard here saying that this is about instituting Sharia law in the United States. Let's run clip 8 and unpack that on the other end.
They want to establish Sharia law and a caliphate around the world. And that's the short-term and long-term threat that these groups pose to freedom-loving people and civilization.
So the real goal of these protesters at college campuses all over the country is not what they claim it is, which is to protest the Israeli war in Gaza. Instead, it's to establish Sharia law in the United States. There are large contingents of Jewish students, including Jewish Voices for Peace and all kinds of Jewish organizations that have been created in the wake of October 7th to oppose the war in Gaza, that are part of these protests. The idea that they are working for Sharia law in the United States, that that's what these protests are really about, is not just such an obvious, wild exaggeration and delusion. But it's a very dangerous one, because obviously if you convince the American public that we once again have some kind of invasion of Islamist terrorists or Islamic radicals, that all the things that they acquiesced to as part of the war on terror will be things that they are willing yet again to embrace. And that's exactly what that kind of rhetoric is.
So I agree with Glenn Greenwald, and I disagree with him at the same time. Obviously, I think saying that these protests are exclusively about instituting Sharia law is an exaggeration. And I'm going to show you clip 35 in a second to prove that it's actually about instituting communism, not Sharia law. But on the other hand, I agree with Tulsi to a certain extent, because those among the students and those overseas in the Middle East specifically who support these protests certainly do want to institute Sharia law. I mean, there is a large number of Muslims who either explicitly support the notion of Sharia law worldwide in the United States and other countries, and then there's an even larger segment of those who don't necessarily explicitly advocate for it, but would be okay with it if it existed. And then there's, of course, a minority or a smaller number of Muslims who are just explicitly against Sharia law. But this is certainly a very serious, radical philosophy that we see from this religion, both domestically and overseas. And it is true that Sharia law is a threat. It is something that our enemies, both foreign and domestic, want to see happen here. And it is something that is being exacerbated as a problem domestically because of our open border. And we have tens of thousands of people from terrorist countries, places of interest, pouring into our country. However, these protests in specific on our campuses are primarily happening by students and faculty. This is not an example of Muslims who have come over here illegally to stoke Sharia law or radical Islam on campuses yet, at least. This is an example of students who they're just idealistic and they're stupid, and they go to these student organization meetings because they think they're going to get laid or they think that they're fighting for something meaningful. And they get radicalized by this central organized authority, this Soros-backed philosophy and mentality, and that's how these things break out. So I don't think these protests specifically are about Sharia law. Certainly if you hear people griping in Turkey or Iran or in Gaza about what's happening, those are people who likely support Sharia law. But this is actually about communism, folks. Let's look at clip number 35 here and unpack it on the other side. Seems like we're having an issue with clip number 35. Are you able to play it?
What kind of system do we live in where an institution can call the police on you for opposing genocide, but there's no authority that you can call on an institution that supports genocide? That's the backwardness and hypocrisy of the capitalist system. This is what we're seeing at Columbia University. This is what we're seeing at the University of Texas at Austin. This is what we're seeing at campuses all across the country, where encampments just like these are popping up, showing the bravery and the militancy of the students who refuse to stop the fight until Palestine is free. And what they also have in common is the role of the police. The police as an institution in the United States emerges out of slavery. The police exists ultimately.
See how he's tying it straight into Black Lives Matter?
And the capitalist ruling class.
Now it's about slavery and the police and capitalism. So this is a communist message. It's the same as BLM, backed by Soros then, backed by Soros now.
But what they're protecting is the property of the rich, and what they're serving are their interests. They're not protecting and serving us. We will stay in the streets. We will stay in the fight. We will not be cowed. We will stay in the struggle. We will strengthen our solidarity. We will build the movement, and we will keep on and fight on and march on and chant on until Palestine is free.
It's the same thing. It's not even about Palestine being free. I mean, he's talking about police brutality and communism and slavery and racism domestically. It's Black Lives Matter rebranded. BLM got called out for taking all the money from donors and using it to do things like buy mansions and beachfront property in California for its leaders. And so they've just rebranded it as this Palestine thing. It's exactly the same thing. And this clip 21 that I'm going to run here in a second is a perfect just series of questions and point that proves that this isn't actually about Sharia law. Maybe it is overseas for those who advocate for the Palestinians. Maybe it is for the Middle East who advocates for the death of America. Maybe that is about Sharia law. But these domestic campus protests and riots are about communism, and they're about Marxism. And it's just the same exact thing that we saw with Black Lives Matter happening all over again, only under this new brand of being against genocide overseas. Let's watch 21.
Okay, so we need to talk about this, okay? I actually have questions for all the college students all across the United States, all of you guys. I actually have a real question for you guys. So you guys are able to collectively get together and protest something that's going on overseas. And again, I'm not putting down what's going on overseas. It's not something that we should not pay attention to or care about. But you guys won't protest to the fact that you guys can't buy houses. You guys can't get jobs after college. You guys are about to pay like 40
percent in capital gains tax if you guys even inherit your parents' house. And like, literally, you guys have no money. Inflation's high. You guys can't even afford gas. Literally, your future is, and you guys aren't even protesting about it. You guys are protesting about some shit overseas. I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, the explanation is that this is backed and funded by George Soros, and that these colleges, these students and faculty members are being radicalized by these activist groups, by these students. And this goes back for years. I mean, there's been the Muslim Students Association. You can go back and look at interviews and Q&As with members and leaders from the Muslim Student Association in San Diego universities from like 10 years ago. I think the guy was Horowitz that was speaking. I could be wrong about that. This is all from memory. And he explicitly asked the leader of the Muslim Student Association during a Q&A on a campus in San Diego like 10 years ago whether or not she agreed that all Jews should go to Israel so they can be killed in one place. And she said, yes, I'm for it. I'm absolutely for it. So, yeah, I mean, there is a radicalization going on here, but this is through these student organizations. It's through things like diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's through things like opening up the borders to anyone in the world to come in. And you got to keep in mind, folks, that these institutions like the Harvards and the Columbias, these used to be the Ivy League, just leading institutions of the world in terms of academia. But then through diversity, equity, inclusion, something else that is Soros backed, you allow and catalyze and basically force these institutions to introduce and enroll students and hire faculty based on basically any characteristic except competence. Where they say things like IQ tests are racist, or SAT scores are racist, or ACT scores are racist, or we need to have X number of a percentage of our student base be students of color, or we have too many Asians. That was the famous example that came out where they were not admitting Asians into the institution. So through these policies of diversity, equity, and inclusion, these Soros-backed policies, these Black Lives Matter-backed policies, we have enrolled students for 10 years in these institutions who are exactly like the ones we see at these protests. These are not high IQ individuals in many cases. I'm sure some of them are very bright and they're just misguided. But these are students that would not have been admitted into Harvard in 1970 because that was then an institution where you had to be incredibly impressive to be admitted. So when you do things like hire faculty based off of their immutable characteristics instead of their competence, when you do things like admit students based off of their race instead of their competence, you have a student base and a faculty base that is more malleable and frankly less impressive. And this is how, over decades, you erode the fabric of a civilization. You erode the fabric of a culture. You kill the West. This is like slowly adding poison to someone's coffee day after day. You see famous examples of wives who, over the course of 5 years, killed their husbands by adding a little bit of, Visine to their coffee. And then they kept getting sick and they got worse. And then they died and they find out that the woman was adding Visine to the coffee. This is the Visine being added to the coffee that is the West. And the objective is to kill us. And yes, it's backed by Soros or organizations that Soros supports. And if we don't do something about it and fight back, if we don't start refusing to send our students to colleges that allow this sort of behavior to happen, then this is only going to exacerbate and they're going to get the civil war that they want. And I know we brag all the time about, how in the South or how the right wing would win any civil war because we're tougher and we're the ones with guns. It doesn't matter who's going to win. It will be so brutal and tragic. And the suffering will be like something never seen before here in the United States, folks. It needs to be avoided at all costs. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, folks. I am Chase Geiser, your host for the remainder of the Alex Jones Show this evening and for Sunday Night Live immediately following this broadcast. We've been covering who's really backing these protests and why, and it's obviously part of a deep state coup to catalyze civil war, establish the New World Order and a one world government, and subjugate all of humanity. And in the context of this, not only do we see an onslaught of attacks against Donald Trump, his campaign, his staff, anybody associated with him, anybody who vocally supported him, all the January 6th protesters, and we see these laws coming out and these censorship policies being forced upon us to silence anybody who would have any sort of a right-wing perspective on any of the main issues. But we see total disregard or the complete ignoring of the fact that Joe Biden has lost his mind. And you have to have these shills like Mark Hamill come on and pretend that they support or get paid to support or just frankly tricked into supporting the Biden administration for no reason because Joe Biden is not popular enough to garner enough support on his own. You have to have an assist come in. That's why when he was doing rallies in 2020, so-called rallies, I say rallies in quotes because there was no one ever really there, he always had to have a celebrity like Beyonce or somebody else. I can't even remember the specific celebrities that opened up for him, but he always had to have a celebrity come and open up and perform at these rallies to get anyone to show up. Then he would go on and speak and everybody would leave, but they would only report the numbers of the people that were there for the performance, for the show before. And the more he reaches out to celebrities for endorsements and for clips, like he did that video weeks ago where anybody who ever portrayed a president in a movie was commenting on what it was like to portray the president and how great Joe Biden is. Every time he reaches out, it's because he doesn't have enough support on his own. So he's got to wrangle everybody in through basically laundering the support for other celebrities. So, all right, we need to try to get support for Joe Biden, and we're going to have to do that through Mark Hamill. So we're going to launder the support through Mark Hamill to Joe Biden so it looks like people actually support Joe Biden when they really don't. They just support Mark Hamill, and it's good to have Mark Hamill come out and say this. But now they're saying that they're going to shorten his speeches. And let's just look at this clip. This is 37, where they totally fail to acknowledge the reason they're shortening his speeches being that he's terrible at speaking and losing his mind. And they act like this is a great strategy without drawing any attention to what stoked or sparked this decision being made. This is 37.
We have news this morning from NBC News that the campaign is looking to shorten its speeches. Biden's general election strategy is less is more. The president's aides are seeking to tighten his pitch to voters with shorter, crisper speeches. To be honest with you, Quentin, I think that's a very smart idea. I think
for everyone.
For everyone. I really appreciate that approach because it is a way for the president to sort of hit with clarity, stick his points and move on and not get lost and sidetracked. Give us a little bit more of the scene setting around the thinking there and trying to reimagine the campaign going forward with what you just said and this idea now of the president tighten his grip on his speeches.
Look, our campaign believes in quality over quantity. We believe that these touches, these smaller things that are getting directly to the point about what is going on in the stakes of this election are going to be easier.
Wow, so it sounds like a great idea, but we're not going to say why we think it's a great idea. It's just we're glad that he's shortening his speeches, but we're not going to admit that the reason they're shortening his speeches is because the man can't put a sentence together. Can't put words together to form a sentence. Can't make any points. Always makes mistakes when he's reading the teleprompter. Squints at it and doesn't understand it. And then when he can see it, he can't even really remember how to read. And look at these clips. We're going to run 17 and 24 just back to back as if they're one clip, guys. That's 17 and 24. These clips of them, for some reason, bringing in Mark Hamill, I guess because it was May 4th and there's a meme, May the 4th be with you, that it's Star Wars Day. And so they wanted to bring Mark Hamill in, and he did all of these promotional tweets on his account for days leading up to May 4th. And they bring him in, and they have him at this press conference standing at the secretary's podium, just giving this ludicrous, asinine, senseless speech backing up President Biden. And it's obvious that the man doesn't know anything about politics. He was just really good in the original Star Wars trilogy. And because of the fame and notoriety of his character in that movie, he's just riding that wave, I guess, and probably being paid by the Biden administration. I'm not sure if he was paid for his appearance. I imagine that he was, since this appearance is basically more screen time than he's had since the 70s. But let's run 17 and 24 back to back.
You know, Mark, I get to say a lot of things at that podium, but I've always wanted to say something to you.
What?
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, and remember, I'll always be forcefully yours.
There's no introduction that really is needed here. I have a special guest, as you can see. Mark Hamill has decided to join us on this wonderful Friday, and I am really excited to turn it over to Mr. Hamill. Here we go.
How many of you had Mark Hamill lead the press briefing on your bingo card? Hands? Yeah, me either. And look, I just got to meet the president, and he gave me these aviator glasses. Oh, yeah. What a treasure. I love the merch. Love it all. But listen,
they even gave him props.
I was honored to be asked to come to the White House to meet the president, the most legislatively successful president in my lifetime. And, you know, I don't have to go through the list of bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that. Inflation, 15 million jobs.
It's notice how he had to look at a list because he didn't actually know what Joe Biden's accomplished. They made a list for him.
It's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all these people, my goodness, you know, I mean, I have no idea. I had no idea just what went into what is on his plate on a daily basis. So that's pretty much it. I'm open to questions, although no Star Wars questions, please. But I want to say once again how grateful I am. And it just shows you that one person can be so influential and so positive in our lives. And again, thank you so much. And Peter Baker, I loved your book. Yes.
Wow. Thank you, Mark Hamill, for being here. What did you talk about with the president?
Well, first of all, I only expected to be there for like 5 minutes. He showed us all his photographs.
Yeah, he didn't have anything else to do.
It was really amazing to me because, you know, I was invited to the Carter White House and I came. And then I came to the Obama White House. But I never was invited into the Oval Office, and it was a large gathering. So this one was really extra special.
All right, sir.
So, yes.
Can Biden bring up Star Wars too, sir?
Well, you know, I called him Mr. President. He said, you can call me Joe. And I said, can I call you Obi-Wan Kenobi? he liked that. But listen, I'm not really here to dominate. I have to turn it back over to our wonderful Press Secretary Karine.
Just absolutely disgusting. Folks, we're coming up on a break in about 90 seconds or so, and we're going to get more into the weeds on the other side of this break with amazing news. But before we go to break, I do want to take this opportunity to talk to you a little bit about Nitric Boost, which is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there are several reasons that you should check out Nitric Boost at InfoWarsStore.com. This product can help you with things like enhanced vitality. Obviously, if you're an athlete or somebody who goes to the gym, vitality is incredibly important. But also, if you just simply need increased vitality throughout the day as a hardworking American trying to make ends meet and support his family, Nitric Boost is the way to go. This product also helps with things like muscle recovery. Obviously, if you have goals at the gym, muscle recovery is an incredibly important part of ensuring that you can bulk and gain those muscles that you want in the gym. So this product, Nitric Boost at InfoWarsStore.com, is incredible for that. And finally, we know that Nitric Boost is associated with cardiovascular health. We've seen increased reports over the last several years of people having all sorts of heart problems. Heart disease for decades has been a leading cause of death in the United States of America. We hear recent reports of things like myocarditis and other issues. Nitric Boost is a great way to support heart health at InfoWarsStore.com. And not only is this product good for you for a litany of reasons, but it does keep InfoWars on the air when freedom of speech and the truth is more important now than ever. So visit InfoWarsStore.com, get Nitric Boost now, and be the reason that we are still on the air. For the remainder of the show, and I will be on air for the next 2 hours as well. The final hour of the Sunday Night Live show, we are going to be taking your calls. So after this segment, we'll get into the Sunday Night Live show. We'll do one more hour of news and coverage and then take your feedback. So keep the phones close by. So we broke down how the Biden administration is shortening his speeches because he can't speak, and the media is celebrating this is a great idea, but not acknowledging that the reason behind it is because he can't speak. And we broke down how Biden doesn't have enough support on his own, so he has to recruit celebrities to endorse him and show up to press conferences or press meetings or his rallies and campaign events. Otherwise, nobody will pay attention or show up. And we simultaneously have a nation that is crumbling, and it's not beyond repair. It's something that if we catch it, I don't believe that it's too late for us to fix it. I'm just concerned that they're successfully dismantling a nation without raising awareness, without people seeing it. This is one of the most progressive and innovative examples of a total takeover that I've ever seen throughout history. I mean, in the past, you look at Rome or different nations that have fallen or collapsed, the people were aware of what was happening as it was happening. And then you have increased rebellions and you have military coups and you have multiple Caesars now, and you have to divide the empire into two sections, and you have assassinations. I mean, it was really obvious that the people were feeling the fall of Rome, for example, but the people seem to be unaware that the stage is being set, all the pieces are being put in place now for the total collapse of our civilization, and they've done it successfully without raising enough alarm among the people for the people to really push back. But they're doing things like banning Trump ads. So not only are they trying to get him off the ballot, not only are they trying to convict him of dozens upon dozens of felony charges and imprison him and then strip him of Secret Service protections and then simultaneously lawfully spy on you through extended FISA, even though it violates your Fourth Amendment rights to privacy and protections against search and seizure without a warrant. But now they're trying to take down all of his advertising. Let's run clip number 6 here. This is the Trump ad that was apparently banned by Google.
Hello, I'm with the Biden campaign.
Yeah, I voted for Biden last time.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Everything costs more. Food, gas, rent.
Okay, but Biden's helping pay rent for newcomers to America from around the world.
You mean illegal immigrants? I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals? They get handouts and I'm paying for it.
But Biden can still count on your vote, right?
Things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump.
Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So, despite the fact that virtually everything in this country is worse now than it was 4 years ago, and despite the fact that the Biden administration's policies have disproportionately negatively impacted, disproportionately harmed the most vulnerable communities among us, these communities which the Democratic Party says that it's the champion for, we see the likes of Whoopi Goldberg and The View talk about how they don't want to hear anything about complaints of anti-white rhetoric. So we've got our borders wide open. We've got this invasion happening on our country from these other cultures that don't come here to assimilate and become American or members of Western culture. They come over here just to basically colonize us and expand their own culture and influence without assimilating at all to what was traditionally considered an American value. And then we have an administration that is coming out and making things impossibly difficult for people of color or poor communities or those who are in lower socioeconomic statuses. And you have Whoopi Goldberg complaining about complaints themselves of anti-white rhetoric. And we see anti-white rhetoric time and time again. I mean, this is all part of anti-racism, whether you look at Ibram Kendi, is that his name? The leftist who gets paid tens of thousands of dollars to speak about how the only solution for past racism is to be racist against white people. And you've got these people sponsored and funded and giving seminars and institutions, and you have their books being taught, and you have diversity, equity, and inclusion being pushed on student organizations and faculties and different corporations all over the United States of America with mandatory tests and reading and exams and studying and proclamations and letters going out to all employees about how important diversity is and diversity is our strength. You have all these lies basically saying that, hey, the only way that you can be a good person is to shut down white people. And then you have countless examples of white people being not admitted or hired for positions because companies are trying to extend their diversity quotas or meet their diversity quotas. But you have Whoopi Goldberg, despite the fact that this regime has been nothing but harmful to people of color, to those traditionally considered to be the most vulnerable in our nation, coming out and saying that she doesn't want to hear one more thing, one more complaint about anti-white rhetoric. This is clip number 14.
There's also, this is my favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you before I say it that it enraged me. There is a definite anti-white feeling in the country right now.
Oh, please.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know, sir.
No, sir.
Yeah, sir. Nobody in your family was hung. Nobody in your
hanged.
Family was chased because of the color of their skin. How dare you? There's no anti-white issue here. You are perpetrating anti-humanist issues here.
Yeah, they think they're on the side of human beings, but they're basically saying what Ibram X. Kendi would say, which is that there's no such thing as racism against white people because white people are the oppressor. And then you have clips like clip number 29 here of AOC coming out and basically saying that Rhodes are racist. Let's watch this. This is just ludicrous.
There is a psychic weight to living in communities that are designed to be disconnected. It affects your social life. My neighborhood that I'm from in the Bronx and Parkchester, we have some of the longest commutes in all of New York City. It is a commute not just to work. It is a commute to do anything. It is a commute to connect socially. It is a commute to connect spiritually. These decisions are designed to disconnect, disempower, and isolate people. And when you layer that with a lot of Robert Moses's racist intent, to very much do so to a very specific kind of people, Black, brown, low income, poor, etc., you can really see how it actually builds in organizing challenges to communities who actually want to empower themselves.
So Rhodes are racist and leftism is apparently harmless, and any claims or complaints about racism against white people are totally unfounded and should be silenced immediately. Well, let's take a look at this clip that this blew my mind when I saw this week. This is clip number 10. It's about Megan Fox. Apparently, all three of her sons are transgender. So I want to run this clip and unpack it on the other side, because this is what leftism does. So they're blaming the right wing for all of these ails against minorities and the most vulnerable among us, while totally disregarding the harms caused by the psychology induced by leftism. Let's run 10.
Did you know that all three of Megan Fox's sons are trans? And she's been dressing them as girls since they were like one.
Oh, damn. What, are
and
the
they're
last
all
names
like
Coyote
trans
now?
Now?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And they're all bi. They were born
they're
by.
They're all boys.
They're
yeah.
all born boys?
Yeah.
Yo, that's some fucked up shit, bro. Damn.
That makes me feel like that's Megan Fox dark. Is up in there being like, put the tutu on, bitch.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, was it free will or is she forcing them to be trans?
No, this, I mean, three.
She took Transformers way too far. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the studies show, but the number of people who are organically considered to have gender dysphoria or become transgender is like one in millions, or one in at least hundreds of thousands. I believe it's one in millions. So the odds, the chances of having three children, all of them suffering from this condition where they identify as a gender other than the gender they were born. This is something that's happened to Ben Affleck's kids too, I believe, and it's happened to Elon Musk's kids, despite the fact that Elon Musk didn't support it and tried to fight against it. It's alienated him apparently from his family to some extent that this has happened. This is something that isn't happening naturally. I agree that gender dysphoria is a condition that really exists, but it is incredibly rare. So to have all three of your children suffer from this condition is proof to me that, okay, maybe it's possible that these conditions do happen naturally, but they definitely can be induced through environment. They definitely can be induced through these algorithms that glorify this, these attention-seeking algorithms, these attention-seeking psychological issues that all teens have. When you introduce a teenager to something that's going to give them a massive amount of social credibility and attention, they're going to fall for it, folks, and it's incredibly harmful. So don't let the left trick you into believing that right-wing politics or Americanism is racist and targeting our vulnerable people, when what they're doing is mutilating and sterilizing an entire generation.